begin with the end in mind and think about all those things when you're building your website initially, of not only where you are, but where you potentially want to go.
You're an entrepreneur, and you make vital decisions that hopefully blossom into a business. You're the savvy, out-of-the-box risk-taker who believes wholeheartedly in the process of innovation. Innovation that will change the world. This is CEO Chat with Gresham Harkless, and you're about to embark on a journey through the awesome world of business. Gresham is the epitome of drive and desire as he works to help support small businesses and entrepreneurship. And you're about to learn from this entrepreneur how you can improve your odds of success in the business world. Welcoming the host of CEO Chat, here's Gresham Harkless.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresham Harkless from CEO Chat, powered by CBNation.co and Blue 16 Media, your choice for all your website design, SEO, and digital marketing needs. And this is talk number 5 in a series that will become the You Are a Media Company course. Now, the next 3 editions and the next 2 editions, I'm going to focus exactly on the website and why it's important and some of the things you can take away from, you know, building and developing your website as an entrepreneur or a business owner or, of course, a CEO. Now, today I'm going to speak specifically about some of the best practices for your website and how you can prepare as an entrepreneur, CEO, or business owner to prepare your website to accomplish and hopefully do better than the goals that you might have for your business from a marketing perspective, especially. So as I spoke about in chat number 62, I would argue that the website is the foundation of your digital marketing strategy, aka it's your digital storefront. In all cases, that is not always true, but in a lot of cases that is true. Even if you don't use the website as the foundation of your digital marketing strategy, often it plays a very, very important part of your digital strategy. So you want to make sure to take care of that aspect of your business. So again, this chat, I'm going to focus on about 10 things that you should keep in mind, aka best practices for developing your websites. By no means is this inclusive of every single thing that you should do, and by no means is this exactly what you should do, because again, as you heard in the first couple chats that focused on the You Are a Media Company course, it's going to depend on your strategy, also going to depend on your target market. So just to start out, even though last time I spoke about exactly what the definition of the website is in chat number 62, I'm going to define it again just as a recap. A website is basically a connected group of pages on the World Wide Web, regarded as a single entity, usually maintained by one person or organization and devoted to a single topic or several closely related topics. So again, that just gives you like a baseline of exactly what a website is. But if you're not really sure, definitely go and check out chat number 62. I go a lot more in depth with it. So I'm just going to focus on the 10 things that you probably want to keep in mind, aka best practices for developing, creating, or even tweaking your website. Number one, it should come as no surprise, as I talk about this all the time, the importance of strategy in your target market. And the reason that that's important is because when you're building and developing your website, you're always thinking about your end user. You're always thinking about the person that's going to maybe potentially buy your products or services, or maybe just going to go and read the content that you have on your website if you have like a really enticing blog. So you definitely want to try to keep in mind is understanding who your target market is and what exactly they're looking for. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in depth a little bit later on at one of the other points related to user experience, but understanding and keeping in mind exactly what that target market is. I definitely talked about that a lot in the first couple of chats. So you definitely want to check out, you know, chat number 56, 58, if you aren't kind of dialed into exactly what that means, creating your avatar and targeting your website from a design, but also from a content. And the next one is a strategy. This is very, very important because a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners are actually moving more towards the kind of like the website builders. And there is pros and cons of doing that. Often it's a case of costs and being able to control and make easy updates to the content that's on the website. But again, it has a lot of drawbacks. So the reason that I touch on strategy is because you want to understand that if you do use a Squarespace, use a Weebly or a Wix, again, they all have their pros and cons. But a lot of times those website builders will not allow you to actually create a application, so to speak, or a certain type of functionality to your website. If you just want a website to be a quote unquote brochure, and you might want to do SEO, you might want to do Facebook advertising and things like that, that's not exactly what I'm speaking about. I'm talking about if you desire to have a membership site, or you want to actually take, you know, event registrations directly on the site, or you want to do anything that might be outside of what the conventional website is, or you have visions of doing that, you want to try to keep in mind that a lot of these website builders are very limited in the ability to do some of those things. So again, you want to think about, you know, begin with the end in mind and think about all those things when you're building your website initially, of not only where you are, but where you potentially want to go. And again, there's pros and cons, because a lot of times it depends on the budget, which is a strong consideration. As I talked about, you know, making sure you're understanding your resources in the chat 56 and 58, you want to be very, very aware of that. But once you have that consideration, understand that those website builders are generally built to stay there. So unlike maybe a WordPress or a Joomla site where you can build and create something on top of what you've already built, in other words, you can refresh it and not have to move to an entirely other CMS or content management system. These website builders, you're sometimes limited to do that. So you're going to have to find a different way in order to transfer all the content, pictures, and things like that. So it might end up being more costly in the long term rather than if you started with, say, like a WordPress. Obviously, I'm super pro WordPress, and I'm going to have a chat that focuses specifically on that and the importance of it that it has for your website. So that's, you know, just number one to try to keep in mind. Number two, almost was number one, but I wanted to definitely start with strategy and target market, is mobile first. I would argue that you want to build websites that are mobile first rather than desktop first, because most times your target market is going to be looking from a mobile device. If they're not doing that now, they're probably going to be trending towards doing that. But again, it depends on your target market. So you want to make sure that you take that into account. But the reason that I really say, you know, you want to build your website from a mobile friendly standpoint first, or build it mobile first, is because oftentimes people are going to interact with your website from a mobile standpoint. So they're going to be searching on their phones, they're going to be searching for something very specific in your website or your blog post, or something might come up from that. So you just want to try to make sure that you keep that in mind, is that you want to think mobile first, so that you're able to kind of rank well. Because again, you know, Google and the search engines will actually, you know, divide the search results from, you know, mobile versus desktop as well too. So you just want to try to keep those in mind. And I'll talk a little bit more about that and when I get into the SEO aspect of these chats. The next thing, includes strong calls to action. Now, this is going to definitely depend, again, on, you know, what I talked about in number one. Your strategy and your target market, what you hope to accomplish. But generally speaking, you want to have some call to action. So the call to action doesn't necessarily have to mean buy from me today. It could be things like a free consultation. It could be contact us. It could be download my free white paper or ebook. Just all those different things that you can do. I often use an example whenever I'm doing speaking, of a personal trainer who has a free ebook that he compiled from all his blog posts called From Scrawny to Brawny. And that is a free ebook he offers to anybody that wants to sign up to get in shape for the summer. So these are the different things that you can do as call to actions to draw people towards taking action on your website, and hopefully you are able to get their name, email address, and phone number, which I talked about before, are still to me the holy grail of what you want to try to get as a business owner. It doesn't always happen, but you want to try to have a call to action to that. But keep in mind as well that your call to action doesn't always have to be the same thing consistently. Your call to action might be to share a blog post, which you can have at the end of a blog post. Your call to action might be to like our page on Facebook. It might be to follow us on Twitter. It might be on Instagram, or you know, make sure to add us on Snapchat. It could be all these different things, but you want to try to remember that you want people to take action. And oftentimes you have to tell them exactly what you want them to do, or they won't actually do it. So you want to try to lead your target market towards exactly what action you want them to take, so that they don't forget to share because you said, oh, do you have any great comments? I would love for you to share it to your audience. Or I would love if you commented below if you have some insight on that. So call to actions are huge, and there's a lot of different ways to do that. One huge thing that a lot of local businesses do not do is actually have their location. And it's huge, because if you are a plumber, if you are a yoga studio, if you are a dentist, and you don't have the actual location of where you're located, and what I mean by that, the actual city that you're located in, if you make it really, really hard for people to find where you're located, your phone number, your email address, whatever it is you want, however you want people to interact with you, they're more than likely not going to take action, because people generally don't want to work hard to try to find that information unless you have like a really, really compelling website and a really, really compelling content on your site. But 9 times out of 10, you want to make it easy for people to contact you and to call you. So little small things like making sure your phone number is a hyperlink so people can just click it if they're on their mobile device and call you directly are like little great things that you can do to kind of take advantage of all the great work that you've already done. So number four, I've already touched a little bit on this, the importance of digital marketing, aka your SEO, SEM, social media, blogging, all things that I'm going to talk about in depth a little bit later on. But 9 times out of 10, you might be doing some type of digital marketing. And even for those consultants, so if you're a health coach or you're a health consultant and you're planning on getting a majority of your referrals from warm referrals from your warm market of people that you've built relationships with, keep in mind that you still might want to leverage some type of digital marketing, not necessarily to drive people to your site, but in order to cement all the great things that you've already been doing. So this might be testimonials. This could just be something, again, just to cement all the great things that you might have already had in a conversation with a prospect. So you just want to try to keep those things in mind, is that SEO, social media, blogging doesn't always mean that you're trying to drive cold leads to come and become actual clients. It could sometimes be a way for you to kind of build your brand or build your overall presence. So it's huge to try to keep in mind. Number five is user experiences everything. Make sure you have a great user experience. And this is the difficult part. Because if you really, really drill down into your target market, you understand exactly what that user experience means. So generally speaking, about everyone should have a fast loading website. So this is sometimes difficult for photographers and sometimes even fitness professionals, because sometimes you have really high quality images and you want to make sure that you're showcasing them on your website in the highest quality that you can. However, if you have a professional photographer give you an image and that image is huge and you load that onto your website, every time somebody goes onto your website, it's going to be extremely slow. So that's going to affect the overall user experience. So there's ways that you can actually decrease the size and the load speed of that actual image so that you don't have to actually sacrifice the speed in order for the quality of the image. And a lot of people don't take that in mind. There's a lot of ways that you can add different plugins onto your website so that it automatically does that. But it's something you want to try to keep in mind. You definitely see that a lot with photographers and especially videographers, because they want to maintain that high quality and they don't want to sacrifice their work that they've done. But at the same time, you can't have a slow loading website, because not only will that affect you from a user standpoint, it will also affect you from an SEO standpoint. So little other things that you can keep in mind, you know, having a chat feature on your website. If you know that people that go to your website, or you notice that people go to your website and they fill out the contact form all the time and they ask questions that maybe aren't clear, you can do one or two things. You can have an FAQ that's apparent on the top navigation bar, but you can also have maybe a chat feature where somebody who's visiting your website can actually have a conversation with somebody to help lead them where they need to go, or help them to find whatever it is that they're looking for. Another big thing, especially if you're a doctor, are people with disabilities. And this is often where you see a lot of doctors. They have different ways that you can increase the size of the actual content on your website. So it's especially for people with disabilities, but again, it's kind of understanding your target market. It's not necessarily a bad thing to have, regardless of, you know, what type of website you have. However, it's huge for people that, you know, might be struggling with certain disabilities. They may not be able to see the small text. So you want to make sure, for one, the text is larger, but for two, you might want to have a way for them to click to make the text even larger than that. So just little things like that are huge. And the last thing are people that speak a different language. So if you imagine that maybe you're working with people that speak a different culture, or maybe you speak a different culture and your target market does that, speak a different language, I'm sorry, and maybe your target market does as well, maybe you have a way for people to easily just translate the language on the site. So that could be an easy navigation, and you can basically have people go and just click, and they can, it'll change the entire text of the entire translation of the text on your website. So if it's an English website, it'll translate automatically to Spanish. So these are little small things that don't seem like a lot, but they're huge because it provides such a great user experience. And again, it's going to keep the people that go to your website there. Number six, branding is important. Now, I've had, you know, different people come on and speak about branding and why that's important. And I'm just going to touch on a little bit here. I'm not going to define branding, but keep in mind that your brand could be literally anything that you do, and that's online and offline. But you want to make sure that you're consistent with your brand on your website. So if your logo is this on your business cards, you want to make sure that it's the same thing on your website. You want to make sure the color scheme is similar. If you have a more of a, maybe a joking type tone, maybe you want to translate that to your website as well. So you just want to try to keep that in mind, you know, when you're looking at the, when you're thinking about the brand that you have for your business or your organization, that you also stay true to that. And very simplistically, I mean, that's just color, tone, text on your website. You want to make sure that that's consistent. But on an even deeper level, you know, you want to recognize exactly what your brand shows and what all it symbolizes. Number seven, is adding analytics and tracking information. I can't say how important that is. It's insanely important to install, at the very least, Google Analytics on your website. I talk a lot about call tracking, so you can see exactly where people are coming from and what phone number they're using based off of where they came from last. Again, it doesn't tell you everything, but it does help out as far as narrowing down exactly what helped that conversion for people coming to your website. So the reason that these digital tools are so big and they're going to continue to grow is because of data, and analytics being installed on your website is one of the first things that you can do to kind of help out as far as that. Things like heat maps, where you can see exactly where people are spending their time on your specific page, are important as well too. But you can really drill down into like tools as simple as Google Analytics, just to see exactly where people are spending time, how they're spending time, what devices they're using. And I can go on and on about all the information that's in analytics, but the most important step is make sure that you have it added onto your website. Number eight, security, security, security. Now, there's going to be a somewhat of a big change related to SSLs on websites. So you want to make sure that you have that installed on your website, whether you have and are taking sensitive information or you're not. So what I mean by that is, if you have an e-commerce store, by all means, you definitely have to have an SSL. But there is also going to be a change from a Google, at least a Google Chrome standpoint, where your website is going to be, I don't want to say flagged, but it's going to be signaled that your website is not necessarily secure. Your domain is not secure. So you want to make sure to add, you know, an SSL on your website. And understand that's just kind of the surface level of security. You know, if you have a WordPress website, make sure that you're updating and maintaining your plugins and your versions of WordPress is really, really important. But also, even on a deeper level, making sure that you have backups. As you probably know, it doesn't matter how large or small your website or your company is, you can be hacked, you can be compromised, and you want to make sure that you are doing everything from making sure your passwords are secure, to making sure that you have backups to your website, to making sure you're maintaining everything. These are things that you definitely need to do, because they're really, really important. But I can't say enough how important it is to have backups as well. As you know, it doesn't matter how large your company is, people are being hacked. And sometimes even small businesses believe that they won't be hacked. And sometimes it's not necessarily that they're being targeted, but the number of businesses as a whole are being targeted. So it's not necessarily that they want to target your one, you know, small business, but they might want to target 100,000 websites, and you just happen to be one of those. So definitely, you know, make sure to do that. Just take care of that. And number nine, simplistically reigns strong. And the reason that that's important, I believe, especially because of the mobile device, simple is winning over. You really should take the time to figure out exactly how your target market is interacting with your website, and understand that simplicity sometimes reigns over everything else. And a lot of times that's because people on mobile devices don't have time to look at 30 things on your menu bar. Sometimes you want to just have one, two, maybe three, maybe four. I don't know what the number exactly could be, but you want to try to think about exactly how people are interacting with your website. If you have two target markets, you can very easily have maybe a home. Maybe you have that first target market on the top menu bar. Then you have that second target market, and maybe you have a contact us. Or maybe in addition to the contact us, you have maybe something that says more, and you have things that are nested under that. But maybe you think more about, you know, what I was talking about before for the user experience, is that generally speaking, what I have is my first target market, which, let's just say, for example, it could be for a dentist, it could be people that want to get their teeth cleaned. So maybe you have something that says teeth cleaning, because you understand that people that come in for their teeth cleaning are the people that translate to every other aspect of your business. So a person that comes in for teeth cleaning every 6 months might transition towards getting braces, so on and so forth, and these other opportunities. So you understand that I just want to put teeth cleaning, or maybe it's new clients or something like that, to entice people that are there for the first time so that they can take action. It's when they go to that page that they see all the other things that you provide. So you don't necessarily put that at the top, for the top navigation, because you understand that because your navigation is so simplistic, that they're going to go directly to that page. And from that page, they're going to see that, okay, maybe I want to get my teeth clean. Maybe I have a cavity. Maybe I want to get braces. All these different things show up after they get on that page. So that's thinking, again, about the user experience, but it's also making sure that you're designing things and developing things from a simplistic standpoint, so that you make it very easy for somebody to navigate your site if they're on a desktop, but even if they're on a mobile device. And last but not least, picking a domain. This is really, really big, especially because you see a lot of vanity domains. It's almost, if I could say, maybe near impossible to have every single version of your domain. I mean, you can. It'll definitely be a nice little budget item that you have to account for. But you can buy your domains and all the different vanity URLs that are available. But you want to think strategically about your domain. And often I speak with this, I speak with people from an SEO standpoint, especially because generally speaking, you want to develop your website and put it on a domain that might have your keywords. However, you want to try to keep in mind that you might also want to try to build a brand. So case in point, if you're thinking about developing, let's just say, a yoga studio in Washington, D.C. So maybe you look and you see yoga Washington, D.C. is available. WashingtonDC.com or maybe YogaDC.com is available. So you decide that you want to get your domain, but your actual business name might be Gresh's Yoga DC. And because I want to brand Gresh's Yoga DC, because I don't want anybody else to have that brand, maybe I get another domain and I have that domain forward to the domain that has the keywords. So that's, you know, very, very simplistic. But the reason that I bring that up is because you really want to think strategically about these things, and your domain could have a big part of that. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting Gresh's YogaDC.com if that's available and having your website on that. But you want to try to keep in mind that sometimes, depending on what you name your company, if, for example, I decided not to call it Gresh's Yoga DC, I say Gresh'sFitness.com, and I do yoga, and yoga is the primary thing, you would never really know that from the domain. So in other words, you have to do a lot more work, and not maybe not tremendously. A lot of it's going to be relative depending on the competition for the keywords, but you want to try to keep in mind that you have to build the awareness, build the SEO for that keyword. It's going to be a little bit harder than it would be if you had those keywords in your domain. So that's just something small that you can do from a standpoint of deciding to pick your domain and figuring out exactly what to do. But that's basically the 10 things that you should try to keep in mind. Again, it's not an exhaustive list, but just some things that I believe that you should definitely try to keep in mind. And, you know, make sure that you really look at chats number 56 and 58. Because again, that provides a lot of the foundation for, you know, your digital marketing strategy. And again, this is just a small piece. And as always, next week, I'm going to have an interview. So I'm going to be interviewing an entrepreneur and business owner for chat number 66. The week after that, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper and talk about the future of websites. But this is Gresh. I'm signing out. Be sure to make sure to sign up for the UR Media Company course at urmedia.company. And you'll get notified when the course actually launches and goes live. But that's basically it. I appreciate you for listening. And definitely, as always, let me know if there's anything I can do to help.